Maybe a good way to think of the body of Christ, the church, is Jesus is the head, the brain. The Holy Spirit is like the nervous system. He's going to take the impulses from the brain and convey them to the different parts of the body so that there can be a smoothness of operation. We can all coordinate and work together and feed off the ministry that we each have together.
When we give our lives to Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live faithfully and to reach the world for Jesus. Today on Connect with Skip Heitzig, Skip shares about how the Holy Spirit equips you and all believers with spiritual gifts. But first, we want to share about a great resource that shares how you can grab hold of a critical opportunity to represent Jesus even better to the world.
The most recent U.S. Census revealed that our population is much more diverse than ever before. In fact, over the past 10 years, our multiracial population increased 276%, which presents new challenges. Here's Skip Heitzig.
To say that this nation is divided would be a gross understatement. But I am not going to take sides politically. I am going to take sides morally and spiritually and biblically. I'm going to raise the conversation to a different level, to a higher level, to a biblical level. Because the issue, as I see it, is not a skin issue as much as it's a sin issue.
We want to help you understand this divisive issue from a divine perspective. When you give $20 or more today to this Bible teaching ministry, we'll send you Pastor Skip's booklet, The Church and Racism, plus his teaching featuring a conversation with Pastor Tony Clark. Get these relevant resources today when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
Now, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we dive into our study with Skip Heitzig.
When it comes to the speaking gifts, a Christian is never out of control. So if you're ever worried about, gosh, you know, I would just be afraid to open myself because I think that something might happen where I lose control and say weird stuff. Not going to happen, as I mentioned. You're always in control. Now, I want to show that to you. I think you need to see it. Because again, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning pneumatico and spirituals, right? So turn right to chapter 14. Because I want you to see this. This is all sort of introductory. I promise you, in weeks ahead, we'll move a little faster. But I want you to see it. Important to get this under your spiritual belt. Chapter 14, verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. All of those instructions imply control. You can count. Okay, there's been three. Stop. Now we need an interpretation. So all of this implies control of the user of the gift. But if there is no interpretation, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now we'll explain that as we get to it. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Now watch this. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, you never lose control. Any manifestation of God, supposed manifestation of God, where a person loses control is not of God. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. How do I know this to be true? I know this because not only of these verses and the others that we're studying, but I know this because Galatians tells me the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's a manifestation of the Spirit in the fruit of the Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit don't ever operate independently from the fruit of the Spirit. It's not like, man, I just like lost control and fell backwards and hit somebody as I did, but I couldn't help it. Whatever. Now, look at the second part of verse 3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's also a very key idea, that anybody who is under the influence of the Holy Spirit in any kind of manifestation is going to glorify Jesus Christ, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's going to make a lot. He's going to make much of Jesus. It's going to all be about Jesus. It's not going to be about myself and exercising my gift. Do you know who I am? We don't care who you are, because none of us are as important as Jesus is. We make much of him. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he, the Holy Spirit, will testify of me. The Holy Spirit's going to make it all about me. So that's why Paul includes that. So, three verses. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you ignorant. You know you were Gentiles carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now he gets into the gifts. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, that is, each member of the body of Christ, each Christian individual, to each one for the profit of all. We learn a few things about spiritual gifts. Before he even names them, he's summarizing their usage. What do we learn? First of all, we learn they're varied. They're varied. There's not just one gift. There's only not just one manifestation. There's several. So they're varied. They're not monotone. They're not monolithic. And this is what I love about God. He loves variety. He loves variety. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Look around our country, go in one direction, you'll go past mountains, you'll see just sort of flat prairie. Go the other direction long enough, you'll see a lot of water, ocean. It's just, the world is filled with such variety. And then people are different. We're all different. We're all unique. Our faces are unique. It's why you can have that security device on your little phone that looks at your face and says, oh, that's you. Okay, I'll open up. You can get somebody that looks like you, it won't open up, because there's facial recognition software that's pretty accurate that can detect the subtleties. You are unique. And so there's variety, not only in creation, not only in different people, but there's also in the church. There are diversities of gifts. There are differences of ministries. There's diversities of activities. How many gifts of the Spirit are there? Sort of a trick question, because you're saying, well, you're supposed to answer that. Okay, so there's not just one list. We're about to read them. We'll read a partial list. But there are three lists of the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4. Some of them are mentioned in both places. Some of them are, a few of them are included that are not included in another. So there's a little bit of overlap, but new ones are introduced. So, for example, verse 8, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So that adds up to what, 9 gifts? But that's not the only list. Go down a few verses, go down to verse 28, and he says, God has appointed these in the church first, apostles, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. So you see there's overlap, but he's adding a few new ones. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? He's expanding on the point. There's diversity. There's variety. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. So that's one of the lists. Another list is in Romans chapter 12. I'll turn to it. You can turn to it. I have it marked, but it says, verse 4 of chapter 12, we have many members of one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, that is service, serving, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, that's a spiritual gift, with liberality, he who leads with diligence, the gift of special leadership, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So you see, there is some overlap, but he's introducing others that aren't listed in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4 verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, it would seem to total up to about 18 gifts. I'm going to go with 18. It depends. Some see some of these as gifts. Others see some of them as offices. I'm not going to argue the point with that or get into that kind of minutia. But I think suffice it to say, there's variety. Okay, we've established that fact. There's a lot of differences. By the way, even two people that have exactly the same gift have different styles of the exercise of that gift. So that's, I think, what it means when it says there's differences of activities, but it's the same God who works on all in all. So if you think about different styles, activities, same gifts, but different activities, different personalities, there's an infinite combination. That's what makes the body of Christ so awesome. Just to see how uniquely God is working in each individual person and the unique mix and blend of gifts that are different from everybody else and the way they exercise them so different. And when everybody is involved doing something, it's so awesome because you get the full-orbed, full-rounded Christian experience, life of Christ through the different variety of manifestation. So, the gifts are varied, not monolithic. Number two, gifts are given, not earned. They're given, not earned. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. I told you this is the Bible from 3 feet. I hope you forgive me for this. I hope you don't mind. But I do think it's good, and I think that you'll walk away with, well, you're probably going to have more understanding of this than most seminarians do. That's okay with you, I hope. So it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom. So that's the idea. They're not earned. It's not like, well, if I'm really good at the gift of helps, will he give me the gift of teaching? You don't work your way up a ladder. That'd be like the kneecap saying, if I'm a good kneecap, could I eventually become an elbow just to be closer up? No, you want to find out who you are, how God made you, what gifts and talents and capacities you have, and go with that. So variety, they're given and not earned. You see, it is the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body, the Bible tells us. And maybe a good way to think of the body of Christ, the church, is Jesus is the head, the brain. The Holy Spirit is like the nervous system. He's going to take the impulses from the brain and convey them to the different parts of the body so that there can be a smoothness of operation. We can all coordinate and work together and feed off the ministry that we each have together. And that's why, and we're going to get to it when we get to it. But he says, therefore, covet or desire earnestly the best gifts. What's the best gift? Which is the best gift? Whichever gift God has given you is the best gift for you. Amen. You see, if you think, well, you know what, ministry seems awfully exciting. I think I want to be one of them pastors or singers because people see them. They get a lot of attention. Well, if you try to step into this role and you haven't been equipped by God to do it, it is the most frustrating experience on earth. Any gift, any calling is, you have to be called to it and you have to be gifted for it. And so you want to let God lead you into it, be led by the Spirit. So they're varied, they're given and not earned. Here's the third. Gifts are not the goal. They're the gateway. Gifts are not the goal, they're the gateway. Ooh, I want to have and exercise gifts. That's not the goal. The goal is to have the gift, but the goal is to, once you have the gift, let it be a gateway of service, of helping others. You see in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's the real goal. The gifts aren't the goal. The gifts are the gateway to the goal. The goal is the building up of the body of Christ, the profit of all. It's not like, man, I want the gift so I can just really feel good, because it's all about me having a feel-good experience. Well, actually, no, it's not. And actually, it's for you to discover your gift so that you can be a fountain of living water, blessing other people, helping other people in their parchedness, in their loneliness, get helped and get brought closer to Christ by the use of your gift. So they're not the goal, they're the gateway. Which takes us to our first gift on the list. And that's in verse 8. 4:1 is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. We're going to take these one at a time. We're not going to take all 18 gifts. We're not going to look at all the gifts and all the lists, but we're going to take the list as given to us by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've already looked at the book of Romans. We'll eventually get to Ephesians, so we're going to take these gifts. I want to stay in the text and in the context. But I want to talk about this first gift in the 6 minutes and 27 seconds we have remaining. And, of course, I'm only going to touch on this, and that is the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Let me lay the foundation and we'll build on it next week. Every one of you has a certain amount of wisdom. Wouldn't you agree? I'm looking at some married couples. I see a lovely couple right here. Her hands are on his shoulders and they have wisdom. You know, they chose each other. That was a smart choice. You have wisdom in the Lord, too. God has given you a certain amount of wisdom. And wisdom is promised to every single Christian. Foundationally, all Christians can have a certain amount of wisdom. The wisdom to live, the wisdom to orchestrate and make decisions in your life based upon Scripture. That's wise living. And if you get hung up and you need wisdom, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all and does not upbraid or chide or reproach. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, and it will be given to him. So you're given wisdom and you are promised wisdom when you specifically ask for it. But in the Bible, there were people that were given special gifts of wisdom, right? I mean, let's begin with the most obvious. Who's the guy in the Old Testament? When you think of wisdom, who do you think of? Solomon. Wise to some degree, but pretty lame in others, pretty unwise in how he orchestrated his personal life. But that aside, let's begin with the first part. He was wise because God gave him wisdom. God gave him, it says, understanding and wisdom and largeness of heart. Isn't that beautiful? God gave him wisdom and understanding and largeness of heart so that there was no one on the earth as wise as Solomon. God gave him unique wisdom. And he was so wise that the Queen of Sheba heard about his wisdom and wanted to just test him with questions and was amazed. And she came back and said, wow, you're so smart, you're so understanding, you have such a large heart, you're so wise, the half wasn't told me. The thing that launched the wisdom of Solomon was two women that came to him. You know the story. It's the most famous story. It's become a proverb in our language, cutting the baby in half. These two women, both of them harlots, came to Solomon. They each had babies. One baby had died. A baby had been born. They were roommates as harlots. I don't know how that works out, but they were roommates. So one gal had her baby. 3 days later, the other gal had her baby. The gal that had that baby, the second one, at night, because they in those days slept with their infants, rolled over and suffocated her child. The baby was dead the next morning. Well, the mother of the dead baby who went to nurse it woke up first, saw that her baby was dead, so she switched the dead baby with the live baby so that when the first mother woke up and saw the dead baby, but then examined it, said, hey, that's not my baby. You stole my baby. No, man, it's my baby. So they went to King Solomon, and Solomon said, what's up? No, he didn't say that, but I'm just picturing it. So he, what's up? And so they told him the story, and she said, this lady stole my baby. She said, no, it's my baby. So Solomon heard them arguing and said, bring me a sword. And he took a sword and they said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to cut the baby in half. And half goes to one woman, half goes to the other. Well, the first woman, the real mother, said, no, 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 no. Give it to that woman. That's her baby. I was really not the mother. I was just saying that. But give it to her to let her live. The second one said, no, he's right. Cut it in half. Solomon immediately knew who was the real mother. The compassion welled up, and she was lying for her roommate so that her baby could live. And the second one was so callous that she thought, if I lost my baby, then you should lose your baby. And that's how callous. And so that launched his reputation of being wisest man in the world. But did you know? So that's foundational. All people can have wisdom. All Christians can have wisdom. If you need it, you ask for it. But there are special gifts of wisdom. But did you know there are special wisdom manifestations different from that one-off of Solomon and different than the foundational you can ask for wisdom in your life? There are special manifestations of wisdom in Christian history. And we have to wait for next week for you to get that explained to you, and I'll show you and I'll explain to you both the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And who knows, we may make it into the next verse and look at the gift of faith as well. But I'll guarantee you by the end of these studies, you'll know what these gifts are. You'll know what they're not. You'll know when they're used. You'll know when they're abused. So if you ever travel and go to an assembly and you hear things and you go, wait a minute, something else is wrong. That has to happen first. And you'll have that. And you should have that. It's standard operating procedure. It's 2,000 years old. So we should at least find out what it says.
That wraps up Skip Heitzig's message from the series Expound 1 Corinthians. Now, here's Skip to share how you can keep this broadcast going strong, connecting you and many others to the Lord.
It's a great comfort to me that no matter where we go or what we do, God is ever present in our lives. Our whole ministry is based on the desire to connect friends like you with God and with His Word. But we need your help to keep these teachings going out to you and to others. We'd be so grateful if you shared a gift today to keep this radio ministry going strong. Here's how you can do that right now.
Visit connectwithskip.com/donate to give a gift. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Or call 800-922-1888. 800-922-1888. Thank you for your generosity. And come back tomorrow as Skip Heitzig shares vital insight with you to help you discover your spiritual gifts.
Natural talents are what you are born with. They're a result of the natural birth. Spiritual gifts are a result of the new birth. When you are born again, God might work with your talents, but give you spiritual, supernatural capabilities that you should learn what they are and let them interface with your natural talents.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wound. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.